be when the order is given to censor your mind as free speech is forbidden, as martyrs for peace from the world will be driven away by the sound of a bellowing thunder and choke on the blood of a dream going under. From every direction, we cry revolution, standing together and without.
Welcome, this is Jason Rink, and this is the Liberty Voice Podcast. Today is June 28th, 2010. And as always, just covering some different articles that we post up at thelibertyvoice.com. Just want to make some commentary on those things, and so let's get started. First of all, first article I want to draw your attention to is Kagan calls Israeli activist judge my hero. And this has to do with the new Supreme Court nominee, Elena Kagan. And the focus of this story is specifically that on a video she's praising an activist Israeli Supreme Court judge as my judicial hero. And what it says in the article is that this has Republican senators and conservative groups doubting administration claims that the former Clinton aide has an open mind and isn't interested in changing the Constitution. Now, the reason I want to comment on this article isn't the typical reason why most people are probably commenting on this article, which is the fact that Kagan would, you know, praise an activist judge, and this, you know, somehow proves that Kagan's going to be an activist judge. Well, what I say is, let's be honest about this. Of course Kagan's going to be an activist judge, but it has nothing to do, the outcry of the Republicans and conservatives has nothing to do with the fact that she's going to be an activist judge. Their outcry really is the fact that the kind of activism that Kagan is going to you know, participate in is going to be opposed to the kind of activism that they prefer her to participate in. So here's the logic here. Here's the way this shakes down. Is Kagan praises an activist judge, an Israeli activist judge. This then proves that she's going to be an activist judge when she's on the Supreme Court. Well, really, all we've got is activist judges now. We've got liberal activist judges and conservative activist judges, and what these judges do is they sort of battle it out to see whose rendering of the Constitution is going to win. And the thing is this is never the way that it was intended. Okay? This whole Supreme Court process has nothing to do with preserving the Constitution. It has everything to do with judicial activism in accordance with the party that appoints them. And so the conservatives and the Republicans, they want an activist judge that's going to be a conservative activist. Well, what they call that is a constitutional purist or somebody who embraces the original intent of the Constitution. But that's completely a fabrication. The same thing on the left. On the left, at least on the left, they're overt about it. At least on the left, they say, well, the Constitution needs to change with the times. It's a living Constitution. And many times, that's my argument for liberals and against conservatives. Again, I'm in support of neither. But at least the liberals and the Democrats tend to be honest about what they're going to do. At least they don't conceal it in rhetoric that makes it sound as though they care about the Constitution, they want to protect the Constitution, and yada, yada, yada. Oh, we're the party of small government. It's just not true. And so I want to point out also some words of Thomas Jefferson when it came to the Supreme Court. Jefferson said, "The judiciary of the United States is a subtle corps of sappers and miners constantly working underground to undermine the foundations of our confederated fabric. They are construing our Constitution from a coordination of a general and special government to a general and supreme one alone." And he wrote this in 1820. And what he's saying is, hey, listen, the Supreme Court is actually undermining the limited government and the federalist intent of the Constitution, and they're making it into a supreme government. He also said in 1804, "The opinion which gives to the judges the right to decide what laws are constitutional and what not only for themselves in their own sphere of action, but for the legislator and executive also in their spheres, would make the judiciary a despotic branch. So this whole idea that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what's constitutional and is the final arbiter of what the legislative branch and executive branch can do and what state and local governments can do, that is not and never has been the intent of the Supreme Court powers as indicated by the founders. So this article is really making a huge issue over this whole whether or not Kagan's an activist judge. Activist judges have been sitting on the bench for over 100 years, 150 years. I mean, in 1820, Thomas Jefferson's talking about it. So this is nothing new. The article also talks about something interesting here. It says, constitutionalists shudder at Barack's view of the law. According to Americans United, in his 2006 book, The Judge in a Democracy, Barack wrote that a good judge is a judge who, within the bounds of legitimate possibilities, makes law that, more than other law he is authorized to make, best bridges the gap between law and society, and best protects the Constitution and its values. He also says that judges should go beyond actually deciding the dispute. What basically he's saying here is that judges should go as far as they possibly can in this whole interpretation and lawmaking procedure. Again, this is where we're at in this nation, is where we've got a constitutional lawyer who's the President of the United States who thinks that the Supreme Court is the final say and the final arbiter of what's constitutional. So, the next thing on here, item number two, is it says, the World Health Organization is to tax our internet usage to fund vaccines in third world countries. This is from the Natural News. United Nations World Health Organization is pushing hard to impose global consumer taxes to help fund its various programs, including a new proposal that would tax the internet in order to pay for vaccines and other pharmaceutical medicines for third world countries. Yes, you read that right. WHO wants every person in the world to help pay for drugs that make Big Pharma even richer. Consider it a reverse Robin Hood ploy. They're stealing from the working class and giving to the ultra-wealthy drug companies. It goes on to say, other ideas for funding include taxing people when they make financial transactions like paying bills online or withdrawing cash, as well as taxing the international arms trade. WHO also threw in the idea of possibly having governments voluntarily contribute, which is actually the only somewhat legitimate idea in this report, considering the UN has no legal power over any sovereign nation to force it to pay global taxes. Okay. Bottom line here is the World Health Organization, which is an unelected global body of who knows who, I don't know who sits on this board, sits on this organization. They want to tax the internet so that vaccines can be provided to third world nations. And if that doesn't work, they also want to possibly tax us for paying bills online and withdrawing cash and all sorts of other things. What we see here is this idea that national and global government, our national and global government overlords, all they do is they see every good and service that we buy in the marketplace as an opportunity to charge a tax. That's it. Everything we do, every transaction, withdrawing cash, a tax to withdraw cash, taxing the internet now that the world is dependent on the internet, now that business is dependent on the internet, now that small entrepreneurs, now that personal internet use and communication is just a part of life that we can't escape. Now we're going to levy a tax on that to do what? To pay for vaccines in third world nations. And we all know how this is going to go down. That money will, a very small portion of that will go for these vaccines, which is really just poisoning most of these people anyway. I mean, here I sit as a parent that I don't even allow my child to have vaccines because I know the truth about vaccinations. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fund, through my tax dollars, poisoning little kids all across the world, making pharmaceutical companies rich, making the leaders of those corrupt agencies and of those corrupt nations rich, as this money gets funneled through and everybody gets their little piece. You know, and notice, the article points out, notice that the WHO is not trying to bring nutrition to poor nations. No, they're not trying to tax us to fund, you know, vitamin D, vitamin C, plant-based nutrients, anything like that. All of that would be less expensive. All of that would be more effective. But instead, what they want to do is they want to use the taxes to pay for vaccines. This smells like a huge, like there's a lot of lobbyist money, pharmaceutical lobbyist money at work here trying to make this happen. I can't imagine this would ever go down, but I've been wrong before. So anyway, check that article out. Finally, an article here that says, if you think your guns are safe, you would be wrong. And this is talking about the recent Supreme Court ruling. The article opens, today's 5-4 Supreme Court ruling in favor of the Second Amendment as an individual right is being hailed as a victory for gun rights advocates. However, this verdict has far from carved in stone the individual right to bear arms. Let us forget for a second that the right of self-defense comes from the natural law and pretend this is nothing but a privilege granted by a bureaucrat, which is exactly what progressives on the bench believe. All the Supreme Court did today was send the case back to lower courts in local jurisdictions where the language of any new gun bans can be amended and deliberated once again. The bureaucrats still have control over rights you are born with. This is the important and critical issue here. This gets into a concept which is known as positive and negative rights. And really, the idea here is that our natural God-given rights that the founders talked about that's in the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, those are negative rights, meaning we don't have to do anything in order to exercise those rights. They're not privileges, in other words. And what the federal government and what all of these local and state governments have done is they've confused the issue, because what they've done is they've taken a natural right, a negative right, a right that you and I shouldn't have to do anything to exercise. We shouldn't have to tell anybody when we exercise it. We shouldn't have to report it to anybody. We shouldn't have to fill out paperwork. We shouldn't have to abide by all of these regulations. We should be able to exercise this right by doing absolutely nothing other than exercising it. It's the right to defend ourselves. It's the right to protect our own property. And so what's really going on behind the scenes here is this is just further taking the Second Amendment and turning it into a privilege and changing it from a right to a privilege. That's what's going on. As the nation keeps looking to the Supreme Court to rule in our favor, what we're really doing is we're just institutionalizing this idea that they hold all of the cards, that they really make all of the decisions, and that it's because of government's good graces that you and I can possess a firearm. And so the article goes on to explain how the court did not prohibit state or municipalities from enacting tough gun laws that could really turn this into a de facto ban, because all that's going to happen, and the Chicago mayor already made the statement that, you know, hey, all we're going to do is make owning a gun as difficult as, or even more difficult as owning a car. And so, really, through the different types of prohibitions and regulations that can be piled upon each other, it can take this, you know, seemingly good ruling, and different states and localities can still make owning a firearm a very, very difficult process. Now, happening at the state level, I have to say, you know, I don't have as much of a problem with it. Only because at least that government is closer to the people. And at least the people can actually influence the government at the state and local levels and can overturn these things. Getting things overturned at the federal level is almost impossible anymore. What we also have to realize about this article is this. This was a 5-4 decision. And so this highlights our predicament, that it came down to one judge voting in favor of the Constitution that allowed this to turn out the way it did. And so this should be a huge warning signal to us all in America that says, hey, The government is out of control. The Supreme Court's got too much power. And that it sat with one justice to ensure that we could have the individual right to keep and bear arms. I mean, that sets off alarm bells in my mind, and it should in your mind as well. And again, as we already talked about, the Supreme Court was never designed to have that kind of power. And it was definitely not designed to have the kind of power over our rights, our natural rights, the negative rights that we have by birth that were not given to us by privilege or grant or largesse of the government. So go ahead and check it out. That's what's posted on thelibertyvoice.com. Once again, the Liberty Voice is an independent news publication that we are currently trying to expand throughout the country. For $20 online, you can subscribe via PayPal or credit card. You can also mail us a check at the Liberty Voice, P.O. Box 171149, Austin, Texas, 78717. We need your support. You get a full year's worth of issues sent to you directly in the mail, and you allow us to expand our circulation. Thank you for your time and your support, and this is Jason Rink with the Liberty Voice signing off.
Oh, if you looked in the eyes of a thousand young children through fences of razors, their innocence stolen as the